in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of just standing here and reading the Bible. And I pray, Lord, as we preach, dear God, on this great subject of time, Lord, that you'll help us as we are, Lord, challenging each other, challenging ourselves in this matter of organization. May we understand, dear God, the importance of organizing our schedule and organizing, Lord, our lives so that we do not waste this precious gift that you've given us, the gift of time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible has a lot to say when it comes to the subject of time. I found these phrases in the Bible, in the process of time. You know, there's a process of time. At the time appointed, you know what? God appoints some things at some given times. At the set time, I read this phrase, the Lord appointed a set time. I found this phrase in the Bible, loss of time. Have you ever used that? Boy, I lost time today. You know what? If you lose it, you'll never get it back. There's this phrase, our lifetime. There's this phrase, a long time. There's this phrase, in time to come, and also in time past. In due time, in old time. I found this one, all the time, in former time, at such a time. How about this one? We've all faced this, time of trouble. And then this little phrase, time and chance. We read in the book of Revelation, the time of the end, this present time. And I like this little phrase here, high time. You ever use that phrase? High time, that's a Bible phrase. Paul spoke of the time of his departure, and we are told that the devil knows that he has just a short time. Matter of fact, there are 619 occurrences of the word time found in the Bible. Over 6,000 years ago, God wound the clock of this universe, and our lives have been dictated by its relentless second hand ever since. Three times in the Bible we find this phrase or this word, lifetime. Lifetime. In 2 Samuel 18:18 it says, now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar. Think about that. You know what Absalom was given? A lifetime. A lifetime. Remember the discussion between Abraham and the rich man as Abraham spoke across that great fixed gulf, and he said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Hey, that rich man was giving a lifetime, a lifetime. What is that? Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And by the way, what a sad verse. I wish we could turn and teach that. But that's talking about lost people. And you know what? It's sad to never be saved, to spend all of your lifetime subject to the bondage of sin and under the condemnation of death. What a sad, sad way to spend your lifetime. What's significant, preacher? Why are you pointing out this word lifetime? Let me say it's an appropriate word. Life is time, and time is life. And each of us is assigned our lifetime. I was born in 1961. This is the generation of time to which I've been assigned. This is my lifetime. I know when it started. I'm not sure when it'll end. But you know what? I've been assigned a lifetime. You know what? I read about history. I like history. Sometimes I've told people that I feel like I was born out of time. I would have loved to be here in the settling of the United States of America when I read about how the first folks came over and what an exciting thing that would be. And then the push into the Appalachian Mountains. They thought that they were discovering the far west at that time. Those far blue mountains, they called them. And then, of course, to discover and push on through. And then you read about the settling of the Old West and the mountain men. And you read about those different time periods of history. And especially as a man, sometimes you want to say, boy, Lord, I wish I'd been born at that time. How neat would it have been to travel with Lewis and Clark and see for the first time what white men had never seen before. And sometimes, but you know what? Guess what? God knew when he wanted me here. We all have this in common, at least for this day. We are in the midst of our lifetime, our lifetime. What are you talking about this morning? I'm talking about the importance of time. I'm going to preach on that subject, the importance of time. In this matter of organization, this is what we're focusing on for this month. One of the most important things to learn to do is to organize your life and organize your time, because time is life and life is time. I don't know if there's a more precious gift that somebody can give you than their time. If somebody's invested their time in you, what they've done is invested their life in you. And the time that that person has taken and given of his or her life, by the way, they can never get that back. They gave you a precious gift. Young people, by the way, don't waste the investment of your parents that they've made in your life. Don't you waste the investment of your preacher and the good Christians here of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in your life. What, it's criminal to take somebody's time, to take their life, and then to waste that investment. And so we're talking about our lifetime. God designated each of us to live now. Not 100 years ago, not 100 years future, but now. This is our life. This is the time we have. This is the time for which we'll one day be judged. We have one life. You just get one life. That's all you get. This is your life. This is your time. The Bible encourages here in this portion of Scripture, in verse number 16, to redeem the time. Now, I want you to think about that. Some of you ladies use coupons. And by the way, that's a wise thing to do. Ladies used to have to clip coupons. We'll be in the checkout line. My wife will be playing with her phone. Next thing you know, she's scanning a coupon. We got something cheaper. I don't even understand what's going on anymore. But some of you understand the use of a coupon. A coupon usually is given out, and it's given out for a time period. It expires. It has an expiration date on it. You either use that coupon before it expires or it becomes worthless. You can present it, but you can't use it. You can't redeem it because the expiration date has gone by. Folks, listen, at midnight, the stroke of midnight last night, you know what? You were given a day, and it has an expiration date. And you know what? I would encourage you to do what the Scripture says. I would encourage all of us to be in the business of redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. What's that mean? That means before it expires, you better cash it in. You better use it for something. You ought to do something with it that's important. Do something with it that's meaningful. I don't know if there's a bigger sin than to waste your time. Because if you waste time, you're wasting your life. And so this is what we are faced with, and this is what we're going to focus on throughout this day. This morning I'm going to preach on the importance of time. Tonight I'm going to preach very practically, very practically. I'm going to give you nuts and bolts, and I'm going to give you the how-tos. I encouraged you last week, boy, get you a calendar, get you some kind of day planner. Listen, folks, I think it's criminal for born-again Christians to waste their time and waste their life. There's so much to do for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If we waste our time, we waste our life. Why the emphasis on organization? Why live by a schedule? Why have a to-do list? Why live on purpose? Why set goals? Why strive to accomplish? Because one of these days we're going to stand before Jesus and we're going to answer for the things that were done in our lifetime, because that's all we've got, this one opportunity. Now I want you to look back, because even though this verse number 16, we're kind of pulling it out and looking at it real quick and defining this, I want to now set it back down into the context of the chapter, because I believe in this chapter and in the context of this chapter is fair warning to us and a way to teach us about this matter of the importance of time. Time is important. Time is important. Looking back at verses 1 and 2, let me give you the first point. Time is important, so follow God. Time is important, so follow God. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. This verse is encouraging every born-again Christian to spend your life following God. Why? Because if you follow the Lord, you won't be wasting any time. When we stand at the judgment seat, the time we will have to answer for that was wasted was time that we wandered away from the Lord and decided we were going to choose our own path. For some folks, this will be days, and for some folks, this will be months, and for some folks, this will be years. I'm talking about not lost people, born again Christians. Spend your life following the Lord. Time is too important to decide that you're going to take a chunk of your life and go do your own thing. This verse is encouraging us. Spend our time, our life, following the Lord. How do you give your life to the Lord? How do you make this great sacrifice? Why are we encouraged to make such a drastic and selfless decision? Preacher, you're asking me to take my life and to spend it following the Lord. Give me a reason why. The Bible just did. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, because Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Folks, he sacrificed his life for us. It is no big thing. It's a very reasonable thing for him to ask us to spend our life following God. Now, how do you give your life? You give your life when you give your time. Spend your life, spend your time following the Lord. By doing so, you will not waste time. Therefore, you will not waste your life. I'm talking about following the Lord by faith. It's amazing to me what we will follow by faith. Let me give you three letters. GPS. GPS. I mean, some of you will punch in something and whatever that GPS tells you, you're going to do it. Like the man who drove his Ford Fiesta down a railroad track. Police stopped him and he told them his GPS told him to take a right at the railroad crossing. He was following that GPS by faith. Three girls visiting the United States from France landed at the airport, rented a Mercedes SUV, typed in their destination in the GPS device, and found themselves 20 minutes later in a lake. They told the police, my GPS told me to make a right into the lake. Shouldn't at some point common sense kind of take over, you know? But they were willing to just, hey, if the GPS said to do it, let's do it. While visiting America, Japanese tourists drove into the Pacific Ocean because their GPS directed them to do so. The American truck driver, Doug Madison spent 10 days in jail after his GPS directed him to drive his chemical tanker into the side of an elementary building, school building. He told the police, "I was just following instructions." Or the six friends in England who decided to spend a holiday shopping in France. They set their GPS and followed it. Instead of ending up in France, they ended up in Belgium. They just missed France by 96 miles. That's not too bad. Or the Australian limo driver following his GPS down a flight of stairs outside of a crowded mall. His limo, himself, and his boss in the back seat were treated to a rather bumpy ride down 68 cement stairs. Why? Because his GPS told him to turn there. He was fired from his job as a limo driver. Shocking. I love this, but it says, "But don't worry, he has since found a career in air traffic control." That's wonderful. Amen. Where am I flying this year? Wow. Why is it we'll put our total faith in modern technology, but somehow born-again Christians cannot put our total faith in Almighty God? How much of our life have we wasted simply by not following God? I'm giving you good reasons, folks. I'm showing you why verse 16 sets in this chapter here. Here's the instruction. Be ye therefore followers of God. Any amount of time that you spend not following the Lord, you are going to answer for wasted time. Because without God, I promise you, you will not end up where you ought to be. How much of our life have we wasted by not following God? Say, "Preacher, what do we choose to follow instead?" And I can't do verse by verse, but if you'll read from verse number 3 all the way down to verse number 14, you'll find out that much of our life, number 1, is spent following the flesh instead of God. Isn't it interesting that right after the admonition in verses 1 and 2 to follow the Lord, there's a warning in verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as become a saint." Folks, you're not going to tell me that Christians end up in these type of sins. Yes, they do. But they never end up there by following the Lord. At some point, they stopped following God and they started following their flesh. Now, let me say this and listen to me, please. These sins should not, the Bible says, should not be named among you, not once be named among you as becoming saints. And the rest of this scripture tells us that this was the way of the Gentiles. This is the way of the life before we were saved. This is the way of darkness. This isn't the way of light. But what happens? Watch this. If you start following your flesh, you'll end up somewhere you don't want to be. And I'm talking about little things, by the way. And a lot of times it doesn't start out with these type of sins. It starts out when the alarm clock goes off on Sunday morning and our flesh says, "You know, I'm kind of tired. I'd just rather sleep in than go to church." And so we listen and begin to listen and follow our flesh instead of follow God into the front doors of the church house. It's on a Sunday night when we've had a rough week and we got our feet up and we look over at the clock and the flesh said, "Boy, it'd sure be nice just to kind of stare at the TV and go brain dead and not have to get out in the cold and go to church." And our flesh is beginning to dictate our decisions. I'm telling you exactly how some Christian wives end up in fornication and adultery and some Christian men end up in fornication and adultery. If you're going to let your flesh start making the decisions of your life, it's going to take you places you never thought that you would go before. And that's what this entire portion of scripture is warning us down from verse number 3 all the way down. People, we begin to follow the flesh. What else do we sometimes follow that gets us in places that we ought not to be and therefore wasting chunks of our life that should not be wasted? We follow our flesh. Or number 2, the same portion of scripture warns us against following people who are more lost than we are. Jesus spoke of the blind following the blind. Nothing is sadder than watching a Christian who used to follow God choose to instead follow the foolish or the immoral or the disobedient crowd. Listen, what are you saying, preacher? Time's too important. Time is too important. I think I'll just take a year doing my own thing. What could have happened in that year? What could you have done for God in that year? What did you miss that you never can get back in that year? What soul could have been saved in that year? What life could have been changed in that year? Time is important, so follow God. Amen. You can't trust the flesh. You can't trust people that are involved in foolishness and immorality and disobedience. Look at verse number 6. I'm just preaching kind of through this portion of Scripture. This is Bible, amen? Let no man deceive you with vain words. Who's deceiving you? Whose words are vanity? Whose words, if the preacher was standing there with an open Bible, could contradict with the Bible everything that they're saying, and yet you've turned into this bobblehead little Christian that anything they say, you just go, oh, well, yeah, that's right. That's right. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes dark. That's what you were before you got saved. Now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Follow the Lord. That's where you'll end up. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Folks, there's so much teaching in this. What's it saying? Time's important. Follow God. If you're not following God, what you following? The flesh or somebody else that's following their flesh? And either way, you end up in this same mess. But all things are reproved, that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So number one, time is important. So here's a good New Year's admonition. Spend this year following the Lord. Number two, time is too important for you to miss the will of God. Time is important, so follow God. Number two, time is too important for you to miss the will of God. Look, if you will, now at verse 15, 16, and 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. Follow God. Follow God. Seek His will. I began a journey that started when I was 16 years old. It was then that I decided I would spend my life seeking, pursuing, and to the best of my ability, accomplishing the will of God for my life. I would not trade my life for anything else that the devil would have had to offer. There's not a better life than the life God has chosen for you to live. God has a race for each of us to run. Each of us to run. What a great opportunity when we pursue that. Now, preacher, how do people miss the will of God, or how do they get out of the will of God? Again, look at verse 15, 16, and 17. They fell to walk circumspectly. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. Do you know how people get out of the will of God? They fail to walk circumspectly. Now, what does that word mean, circumspectly? That means that as we're walking, we ought to walk very careful and very cautiously. That means to pick your path. That means to look where you're putting your foot. I often use this illustration. My dad, when I was a young man, began to take us squirrel hunting. He taught us to squirrel hunt. He would take us down behind the property there at Brazil, Indiana, the little farm we used to live on, and he'd go across the fence, and we'd walk along the fence into this woods, and there was a whole bunch of hickory nut trees just along that path right there. And boy, those squirrels, they'd be a-watching, especially when Dad had three noisy little boys. And a lot of times he'd not get anything, not because he wasn't walking circumspectly, but because we weren't walking circumspectly. I remember many a times Dad would stop and he'd tell me, now listen, for the next 100 yards, we're going to walk and we're going to go real slow. And he said, listen, I can't have you looking up the trees while you're walking. You look and watch wherever you put your foot. And listen, look for that branch that's going to snap. Make sure that where you're going to put your foot, there's nothing there that's going to make a noise. And literally, sometimes just to walk 10 or 15 yards might take us 5 or 10 minutes. And I'd watch my dad very carefully look at the path ahead and pick very carefully where he put his foot and test the weight of it. And just as a little boy, I'd watch that and I'd try to do the same thing. He said this, if you can ever hear yourself walking in the woods, you're not being careful enough. And you know what? I used to go out by myself. Man, I wanted to be like my dad. I wanted to be a good squirrel hunter. And I'd go out in the woods and I'd just try to sneak up on animals. I'd try to walk through the woods. and not have anything hear me and not make one sound. And the only way to do that was to walk circumspectly. Every time I put my foot down, I put it down carefully. I watched very carefully where I was walking, the direction I was going. You know, a lot of times what I would do is, if you're not careful, you may be looking at this step, and it's fine, and then you don't look three steps ahead, and by the time you get there, there's so much brush that you have to back all the way up. And by the way, we're talking about wasting time. We're talking about wasting time. You know what? Ponder the path of your feet. Don't just look at where you're stepping. Look at where it's leading. Okay, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I'm talking about how people get out of the will of God. Listen, time is too important for you to take a detour out of the will of God. Every minute that you waste out of the will of God, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. So people get out of the will of God by failing to walk circumspectly, failing to choose wisdom over foolishness. And there it says in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly. Here it is, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise. Now let me review this again. Boy, we teach this in a lot of different avenues and venues here at the church. Folks, listen to me. The book of Proverbs identifies three people when it comes to wisdom. It talks about the simple, and it talks about the foolish, and it talks about the wise. And you've got to decide which of those you're going to be. Young people here being raised at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let me tell you something that's already been decided for you. You are not and cannot claim to be amongst the simple. You know why? Because your parents have you in a good church, in a Bible preaching church. They've got you incorporated into the ministries of this church. You're being discipled. I mean, literally from the time you can sit and listen, you're being discipled and taught the ways of the Lord. You cannot say, I was simple, Lord. I didn't know. No one ever taught me. And by the way, you ought to be very, very glad about that, because most of the young people in this community are not taken to church. They are ignorant of this Bible. There's either not a Bible in the house or nobody's ever opened it to consider what it says. On this Sunday, they treat it like any other day of the week. Children everywhere in this community now just rolling out of bed. I mean, just getting up. Another Sunday they didn't go to church. Another Sunday they didn't know, weren't taught the scriptures. They are simple, okay? By the way, make sure that you raise your family in church. Don't let them be simple. Simple means untaught. They don't know what the Bible says. So we've eliminated that, and your parents have eliminated that out of your life. That means that you're going to have two options. What is the difference between a foolish person and a wise person? A foolish person has been taught the principles and precepts of the Bible. They know what the Bible says. They know what's right and they know what's wrong. But a foolish person chooses to do wrong rather than to do right. They know what the Bible says. They decide to rise up in rebellion against it and to do what they want to do instead of what God plainly teaches them to do. And God from heaven looks down and says, "Thou fool. Thou fool." I'm talking about how you miss the will of God. And by the way, if you miss the will of God and you waste your life time out of the will of God, you'll stand before God one day and answer for all that you wasted and all that you could have accomplished in the will of God. By what? How, preacher? By just deciding to be foolish. I know what the Bible says. I know what it teaches. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. But I'm going to do this anyway. But you know what? There's another option. Praise the Lord. And there's the wise. And this is the person that was brought to church, came to church, grown up in church. Or maybe you got saved later on. But boy, you've been coming since you got saved with an open Bible and an open heart. And as the words of God and the truth of God is revealed unto you, you say to yourself, you know what? I'm not only going to learn what to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to choose right. I'm going to make whatever changes in my life needs to be made. If the Bible says, thou shalt not, I'm going to stay away from that. If he says, thou shalt, then you know what? I'm going to get involved with it, but I'm going to align my life with the scriptures. And our relationship to this book determines whether or not we're simple. We don't know what it says. Foolish, we know what it says, but we live it with a rebellious spirit towards it, a rebellious heart. or wise, where we learn what it says and we embrace it and incorporate it into our lives. Now, what I'm saying is this. Time is important. Life is too short for you to spend it wandering around outside the will of God because you were given so much and yet decide that you're going to turn your back on it. We're looking at this little portion of Scripture, 15, 16, and 17. Are you there? How important it is for us to find the will of God and do it. How do people get out of the will of God? They fail to walk circumspectly. They fail to choose wisdom over foolishness. They fail. They're a failure to take heed to the warnings against the evils of our day. And that's what it says there in verse number 16. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. I don't know how to explain this to you. And young people, you know what? I think the Bible says it's not a bad thing to be simple concerning evil. I honestly don't want to tell you too much about evil. I myself don't want to know too much about evil. I'm glad, you know, you can be simple of the Scriptures, or you can be simple concerning evil. It's not a bad thing to be simple when it comes to evil. How about that? But I'm telling you, listen to me. I've had to help enough people that have gone through enough stuff to know in my heart and my mind that there is more out there than the average Christian young person can even anticipate. It's hard for you young people to even have any understanding how wicked the world is. How wicked it is. And what you can get pulled into and drawn into. And I mean, you sit here today and you make a foolish decision to leave the will of God, and you have no idea in 2, 3, 4 years what a mess. You think that world looks enticing? You think that world's cool? You think worldly people are cool? Listen, because we've kept you simple concerning evil, and we should, and your parents should, you're an easy target. Well, they should have taught me more about it. I got an idea. Why don't you just choose the right path? Why don't you stay out of it? There's a lot of things you don't need to know. A lot of things you don't need to know. There is a level of wickedness. And again, I'm not going to open that box. I don't want to create any type of curiosity or appetite for it. But I'm talking, and I'm looking, you know, I'm looking around seeing in the church. I'm seeing people that were saved out of that. Okay, maybe they didn't find the Lord till later on. You know what they're doing? They're looking at me right now and saying, preacher, tell them. Preacher, tell them. And so don't underestimate the devil. Don't underestimate the track record of the devil. This whole idea about I'm going to play with fire and I'm not going to get burned. You play with fire, you will get burned. I'm talking about time. Why is this? Why are we talking about this morning? Because you've got to understand the entire theme of chapter number 5 revolves around verse number 16. Isn't that interesting? Redeeming the time. Listen, you've been given these days of your life, this lifetime. Redeem it. Trade it in for something valuable. Use it for the Lord. Why? Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. Let me give you one last thought. Boy, this is good. I enjoyed studying this out. Time is important. So follow God. Time is important. So it's too important to miss the will of God. Number 3, time is too important to fail to spend your life filled with the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to say something to those of you that have spent your life following the Lord and you are to the best of your ability trying to stay in the will of God. Listen to me. You can be following the Lord and you can be in the will of God without being filled with the Spirit. And what I'm going to challenge you this year is, why don't you take that to a whole new level? Preacher, I'm best of my ability. I'm following the Lord. Best of my ability. I'm in the will of God right now. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? By the way, this is a Baptist church, capital B. I have nothing in common with the doctrine, the charismatic, and their false doctrines. I'm not talking about a bunch of nonsense here. I'm talking about this. The day that you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of you. And he's a resident, but he may not be the president. He can indwell you without filling you. And it's a wonderful thing when a young person or a young Christian or sometimes an older Christian says, you know what? I've followed the Lord, preacher, I have, and I've tried to stay in the will of God, but I don't know if I've ever really lived my life filled with the Spirit of God. In verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about going to a whole new level. All right, the Holy Spirit indwells me. He seals me till the day of redemption. Okay, he's the earnest of my salvation. I'm glad that he's here. But folks, listen to me. He's not he's a person. And he's not there to just sit in the corner and be quiet. He's there to direct me and to guide me and to empower me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. He's there to turn you from being an introvert into a soul winner. He's there to transform you, to give you power you didn't know you could have, to have influence on people you don't know you could have. Well, preacher, wait a minute, I'm following God and I'm in his will. Great. Are you spirit filled? Because you know what? Watch this. Time is too important to fail to spend your life filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, folks, life is too short. If we try to do what we do for the Lord in the power of the flesh, we may be following God, may be in the will of God. We may be even trying to do the work of God. But if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, you know what? Flesh profiteth nothing. I'm talking about listening to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about letting him direct you. I'm talking about letting him convict you. Come on, everybody that's saved, when you begin to do some things that are contrary to the Holy Spirit of God, if you're honest, the Holy Spirit of God warns you about that and convicts you about that. Now you have to make a decision at that moment. Am I going to grieve the Spirit of God, quench the Spirit of God and his working in my life, and go ahead and do what I want to do? Or am I going to be tender to the Spirit of God? If you want to be filled with the Spirit, then we have to be obedient to the Spirit. We have to go to God and say, I want to live in the power of the resurrection. I want to live in the power of the Spirit. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to have a Holy Spirit anointing on my life. And by the way, this will change your Sunday school class. And this will transform your bus route. And I'm telling you, this will make your nursing home service have an anointing. And this will change the song service and your special music and your piano playing and your flute playing and your trumpet playing. Where's Max at? I wasn't here the night you played the piano. But my wife, or no, trumpet. But my wife was sitting over there doing something she's not supposed to do with her phone. She was videotaping you playing the trumpet. And so she came home, and I said, one Wednesday night I was sick, and she said, you got to watch this. And you know what? You know what, folks, listen to me. I'm so proud of the people that are investing in music. And you know what? You have to go through the lessons, and you have to learn how to do it, and you have to practice, amen, parents, and practice and practice. What did you do, Brother Jeff? Did you, like, you got a place in the barn out there where you send that boy to? Or do y'all just have earmuffs? You put the things on? Or I don't know what. And of course, you don't have to. He's good. He's good. He started out that way. Right. All right. Something like that. I'm going to tell you something. Guess what? I can go to the symphony orchestra and listen to lost people that can play better than anybody in here. But they don't have what you can have. I can go listen to an opera and listen to somebody sing. Listen, I can go watch American Idol and hear somebody sing that's better than anybody in this room. But they'll never have what you can have. Amen. Okay, hey, there's a lot of better preachers in this world than I am. And there's people that can stand up and use oratory ability of an orator and just words. And I mean, there's the modern day R.G. Lees and... But you know what? A preacher can have what they can't have. Are you thinking about this? What I'm saying is this. Oh, my goodness sakes. Time is too short just to teach any more Sunday school lessons without the anointing of God upon your life. Time is too short to sing another special without the anointing of God upon your life. Time is too precious to try to win one more person without the anointing of the Holy Spirit's power on your life. What I'm saying is this, time's too short, it's too valuable. Get up every morning and follow God. Follow, listen, find his will and do it. But Don't just follow God and don't just find his will and do it. Do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you do that, let's read on down. If you do that, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden your life becomes a song. It's not just something you play or something you sing. It's melody in your heart to the Lord. Next thing you know, it transforms your life into having a thankful spirit, and it produces, by the way, the rest of the chapter, we won't teach it. Listen, watch this. Why is it that right after that we go into the order of the family and the relationship of the husband and wife? Ma'am, you need to be spirit-filled as a wife. Husband, to love your wife properly, you need to be spirit-filled. Preacher, listen, I just have trouble with this matter of submitting to my husband. You won't have if you get filled with the Spirit. Amen. 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 Preacher, I just have problem loving Christ, my wife as Christ loved the church. You won't when you get filled with the Spirit. Children, obey your parents. I just have problem obeying my parents. You won't if you get filled with the Spirit. You realize that after verse number 18, on down through, the results of Holy Spirit fullness makes everything that comes after that easy. So you got to seek the fullness of the Spirit of God. Why do people burn out? Well, I followed God, and I found his will. It just didn't seem like you missed the last step. You missed the last step. Get the anointing. Get the filling. Stop grieving the Spirit of God. I mean, let him touch you, change you. Stop, listen, start responding to him. Start doing what he says. Start getting rid of the things he points at. Start doing the things he points to. I'm talking about this matter of the fullness of the Spirit of God upon our life. Listen, time is too short and too valuable to wander off by yourself. Miss the will of God and live your life in the power of the flesh. It's just too short. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in this matter of examining this great, great subject of time. Now, Lord, we're going to give our folks tonight tools, I mean practical things that'll help them. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us as we look back over even the week we've just lived. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to examine it in the light of your word. In the last month, the last 30 days, have I followed God? Am I in his will? Am I filled with the Spirit? Oh, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to realize the opportunities, all that can be done with the life of one surrendered Christian. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to find his will and do it. I'm going to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd please make that the goals of our life. We pray in Jesus' name.